Welcome to the IAB UK podcast.
Hello, James here, and you're listening to the IAB UK podcast. This week, we bring you a live recording of March's edition of the Last Thursday Club. Now, it's fair to say that creator marketing has absolutely exploded in recent years. Content creators, widely referred to as influencers, are modern day tastemakers carving out what is essentially their own media brands and influencing the purchasing decisions of their followers. To help brands navigate this new channel and really harness the power that lies in working with content creators, last week we launched our brand new guide, Creator Connections. The guide is stuffed with examples of killer partnerships and actionable insights to activate effective campaigns, and it's available on our website. We'll pop the link to that in the show notes. But back to this week's episode, where around the table, I welcomed Meta's Michelle Kapp, Publicis Media's Agata Narkovic, and Buttermilk's Zoe Mitchell, all of whom, luckily for me, are creator marketing experts. You're going to hear about how creator marketers differ from influencers, why this channel has real sticking power, and why brands should integrate creator marketing into everything they do. But first, I kick off with the basics and start by asking if creator marketing is currently enjoying a real moment.
Okay, so, I mean, obviously I work for a creator marketing agency, so it wouldn't be good for the longevity of my own career if I thought it was just having a little splash in the pan. But I guess every kind of media channel, it has its moment, doesn't it? But like radio, that didn't go away. TV, that didn't go away. And I remember one of my last agencies, everyone was saying, oh, social media, it'll just go away. Creator marketing will only go away if it stops being effective. I mean, right now, it's just the reason it's garnering so much attention is because the ROI is just, you know, kind of, it speaks for itself. So, yeah, I think my take on it is if it continues on the trajectory that we're already seeing, it's not going to be a moment.
Yeah.
It's going to fundamentally kind of change the way that brands are built.
Yeah, we like putting labels on things, Michelle. The year of something. I'm not going to say it's the year of creator marketing, but it does feel like it's having its time right now.
You know, I started Meta 12 years ago, which is crazy. And when I first started at Facebook, we spoke to clients, and the person responsible for social media was kind of an intern in the corner. And they weren't necessarily, it wasn't something that the CMOs paid attention to. It wasn't something that was big on their to-do list. And over time, it definitely grew. And the thing that really excites me about creator marketing is it feels like we're at that same tipping point, is that when we come into big companies, they're saying the same thing. Creator marketing, yeah, somebody internally is on it. They're in the corner over there working on it. It's all organic. And the results, as Zoe mentioned, are phenomenal with creator marketing. And I think something to remember as well is when you look at, you know, Gen Z, they grew up with mobile phones in their hands and they grew up with these creators. And not only have they grown up seeing creators, they've grown up, you know, creating content themselves. So the bar is pretty high and I don't think that's going anywhere. So the days are gone where you can kind of just put a TV ad, edit it, chop it up a little bit and put it on social media. You now really have to create content that's specific to the platform. And right now it's all about creator marketing, all about reels. And that's just how people are consuming content now. So I don't think it's going anywhere.
Yeah. You were Lad Bible Group before, Publicis Media now, kind of been on a journey, I guess, creator marketing, what we used to call influencer marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I find is it's about communities. So I think we've got an opportunity to speak to communities through creators that they engage with because they've got something that bonds them that they can talk about. So you mentioned you're a runner. So of course you'll build community around running. And these people, you trust them. You know, when it comes to running, putting an ad on a TV won't have the same impact for you. And I think it's just about that amplification of the opportunities to connect through that video content, as Michelle said, on a mobile phone that feels a lot more intimate and true.
Yeah. Talk us through this shift from influencer feels like a dirty word now. We're not saying that anymore. Why are we saying creator marketing?
Yes.
What's the difference? Is it optics or is it?
It's interesting because for me, there isn't like a gray line. But if I was to define it, when I think about influencer marketing in 2024, I think social personalities that have fantastic high reach can raise high awareness for brands. And I think if you pick the right internet personalities, you will sell product if you match them correctly. I think with creators, we're tapping into niches, into very kind of affinities. Mm. And I think experts, right? So if you're a pharmaceuticals brand, you're going to talk to your audience through someone who's done a lot of years studying. So now we are at this privileged point in time where we can tap into these people and they also have passion for creating content on the side of their day jobs.
Yeah. So it's sort of Kardashians at one end and Logan Paul and KSI and then, you know, someone maybe with a few thousand followers the other. Is that about right, this distinction between influencer and creator?
I love this question. But it's like a semantics thing, isn't it? Mm. But if you just forget that we all work in the industry for a minute and just think about yourself as a human being on your phone, you don't want to be influenced.
Right.
In the same way that you don't want a brand when you're walking down the street to tell you what to feel or think. Mm. So for me, it's the same thing. I don't want to be influenced. I want to be kind of spoken to, inspired, educated, entertained. So yeah, I think the fact that influence is becoming a dirty word is just, yeah, it's about the fact that it's like we want to be kind of pulled in. We don't want this kind of push messaging.
We want to feel like we're making our own decisions in these, you know, various
things. Of course we do. Of course we do. That's the whole point in creator marketing. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, to Agatha's point, it's the kind of communities and the creators that we choose to engage with, not big brands or big influencers or the Kardashians telling us what we should think and feel and buy to be happy.
Yeah. Did you think the perception of creators has changed over time as well, Michelle?
Yeah, I mean, I think the point Zoe makes is a really good one, because to us in this room, they're creators, but to the average person, they're just somebody that they really like to follow because the content is really incredible and so niche, these things. Like, and it really depends, you know, your algorithm works in incredible ways. It depends on what you're currently into. In the beginning of the year, it was a lot of fitness creators for me personally. Maybe I'm out of that right now. Maybe it's a little bit more home renovation, you know, but it really picks up on this and, you know, you're able to discover creators based on your specific things that you're interested in. And they don't have to be big. You know, influencer was very much focused on fame, but creator is a unique talent. They're really talented at creating original content, and their engagement within their communities is incredible as well. And they respond to comments, people message them. They ask questions and polls, and so it's a very different, but I think over time they have gotten a little bit more cred.
And weirdly, a lot of those things you mentioned, big corporate brands find quite hard to do. They're all desperately trying to be a bit more human, but they can't be. They're not going to reply to messages. And outside of particular, I mean, they got certainly better at it, but it's almost like a sort of antidote to some big brands. The guide, Agatha, goes into a little bit about, you know, how you get started, that kind of thing. I'm wondering what, I think instinctively this room probably knows, what does a really good brief look like? What do the best briefs look like that end up going to creators or influencers?
So what we find from talking with creators, and I think we sometimes are guilty of it, is putting like big presentations, like 10 pages of docs. And we know that creators, some of them respond more to visual stimuli. So what we think about is how can we excite them about the idea that we have for the campaign and let them develop it. So we'd obviously look at combining the visual and conversation. So I'd say, every time you speak with a creator about a brief, the outcome will be a really nice creative piece of work that they're proud of. Yeah. So I think limiting that back and forth and making it all about that connection, because you learn about why they do the things they do, and you can then, you know, relay that to client or even get client on these calls so that they understand. So I think it's a combination of having a really good brief that's relatively short, visual, and having that human touch point as well.
Mm. You were saying, Zoe, it's so important that these things aren't, well, 120 slides long is important, but not too closed off. I guess there's a tendency, lots of marketing directors will be thinking about getting the logo in and having these colours and say this kind of script, but instinctively those things just don't work very well.
Yeah, I think the word we kept kind of coming back to is control. And it's really hard, because I think as brands have things that they want to say and want to sell, but the beauty in creative marketing is that you're kind of handing that over and seeing how your kind of community and your audience are interpreting it. So in a brief, it's kind of freedom within a framework. It's kind of going, well, this is our brand, this is us, these are the things we'd really love you to know and say, but you are important. Your expression and your interpretation is important. So why don't you kind of play here? In answer to your question, like, what does a brief look like? It's freedom within a framework. Mm. And the other thing is, to your point about speaking to creators, it's a value exchange. Like, what's in it for them?
Yeah, beyond hard cash.
Beyond hard cash, yeah. Exactly. It's not just a transaction. It's their profile. It's their brand.
And they want to think about the brands they want to work with because that's a reflection of them. Yeah. Well, some do. I'm sure some. I remember this show is my age. Professor Green in his day would literally work for any money, any sort of cash. Greg's sausage roll, he'll do it. He was very keen to make his name. But I think that's probably right, isn't it? I mean, don't get into this very kind of direct briefing thing, which I guess as marketers we're quite primed on being very specific and long, and this absolutely has to be within the brand guidelines and all those kinds of things.
Yeah. We always say to partners, be in control enough to lose control or to let go of control, because a lot of times, you know, you have these big creative teams and they want to see this big TV ad, or they want to see their work really on the big screen and be proud of it. And you can be really proud of writing an excellent brief and sending it out to the world and seeing what people, how people interpret that in different ways, and seeing how that can really build your brand up. So it's just making sure that you're letting go. And a big piece of that is, you know, every brand has strict brand guidelines. You know, some brands that we work with are very, maybe more polished, and they might send a brief out and get a response back that isn't so polished, and they think it doesn't fit with their brand, and maybe they're against going with it, where actually that's really authentic and that is what works best, and that is a creator that resonates with the audience. So it's really important to be authentic and to let creators be authentic with, you know, the content they create.
Yeah. What do you think it is now in 2024 that is the next thing that's going to move this part of the industry forward? I mean, is it measurement? Is it standards? Is it just kind of raising the bar on how people think about this sector?
Yeah, I think it will be a combination of everything. I think it isn't something that, you know, you'll learn about today or learn about through the guide and then you'll never have to, you know, everything and then you move on. It's constantly evolving and it's constantly changing, and there'll be more tools, there'll be more ways to discover, there'll be more ways to work with creators moving forward. So I think it will be an always on thing that you'll think about with your marketing campaigns, and it's just a matter of like how much you do and how you measure it, because it does work all throughout the funnel. Yeah. You just have to kind of figure out what works best for you as a brand.
We've noticed, Agata, that influencers and creative marketing has been on the agenda for the IB for a long time. I guess what we found maybe years ago, that everyone was kind of in their lane, growing very quickly. And now I think what we're seeing is these businesses are up for collaboration, because you kind of realise this magic thing that the IB does. It's rising tide floats all boats, right? So no one can just go and solve measurement on their own. No one can go and do the standards and definitions on their own. What do you think is behind that change? Why is it that you think now this group that we've got is kind of feels a bit more emboldened and wants to come together and do stuff?
Yeah, and I love it, because I think I can feel it, and I think it was the same with social marketing, because I think sometimes, and I think that goes for creator marketing and how creators work themselves as well, we think it's like a finite pool of briefs, of budgets.
Yeah.
It isn't. It's expanding. So we don't have to like compete for it, and even if we compete, I think it makes us better together. So I think if we can come together to establish a good framework, build KPIs for performance together, you know, at the moment, like, we're all marking our own homework. Mm-hmm. And I feel, you know, organizations like IAB can help support us getting together and building something that's robust for our clients. So at Publicis Media Group, obviously for our media agencies like Spark Foundry, Zenim and Starcom, we are very ROI driven, because we understand that it's not about ROI only in a monetary sense, but how do we measure influencer marketing to show the value? It can be across sustainability, it can be across the improved brand sentiment. And for us, a good way to, we're thinking about how do we integrate influencer marketing across everything else. So the impact it has in paid social. So for in the future, like if we're thinking about AI, you know, I'm not an expert in AI, but what I think is, if you think about having one asset from a creator or asking them to do like 5 cut downs for ads, it would be great to have a tool that lets you do it. So when you go at scale, when you have 100 creators, you let the tool do magic, and then you've got 1,000 assets that you can push through, you know, Instagram, and see what really resonates with audience. You can learn it, and then the next time you do the campaign with that creator, you can guide it in a new way, which I think would be very exciting. So that's kind of what I'm excited about, because I think the more money you spend, I understand you need to see the impact, and that's what we want to give to clients.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, though? What is it that's going to push this part of the industry forward, make it a real powerhouse?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as the first thing we said in response to the FT. All of these kind of media channels and disciplines for brand building go through the same waves. Yeah. What I think is going to happen next is, yeah, we get to a standard things, whether it's these are the follower ranges and we all agree. These are the tiers of influence and we all agree. This is how we measure it and we all agree. Because, yeah, I love that, like marking each other's homework. That's so true. So I think that will happen. And then it will be a mass adoption thing where, you know, brands out of all sizes and scales and ages and media budgets understand that it's part of the media mix.
Yeah.
And it just becomes a conversation that everyone's having.
Yeah. You mentioned brand building there. What's your sense of where it sits and where advertisers view it? Is it this top of the funnel brand building, or is it, because it is so accountable, I think about lots of stuff with Instagram and commerce and TikTok shop, is it that sort of bottom? I mean, the answer you're going to give is it's probably all of it.
Well, yeah, because we just said the same thing. Yeah, absolutely. I think the way that I think most creator marketing agencies and will be thinking about is the different tiers that play the different roles.
Right, okay.
So, you know, you've got kind of reach and awareness at the top of the triangle, kind of these big creators, big splash moments that kind of happen once. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, right down at the bottom, you've got your community, like this kind of always on drumbeat, very kind of culture centric, trend led UGC. And that's like pushing people going, oh, you know, I've literally got it on the table.
Product placement.
Yeah.
Other lip balms are available.
Sorry, podcast peeps. It's, yeah. So absolutely, it is full funnel. That's my answer.
I think the same. And we've done a lot of research to show that people actually trust what a creator says about a product or a brand more than what the brand itself says.
Yeah.
And so it does really great work when it comes to brand, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be focused on reach. It can drive all the way through the funnel through sales. Lots of research shows that the click-through is stronger, the return on ad spend is stronger. Brand awareness is incredibly higher when you're working with creators versus just traditional media. So I think it does the job all throughout. It's just a matter of making sure, again, you're working with authentic people and they're doing something that feels true to them. And that's what really cuts through. Because if you're not, then it kind of gets a little...
And this big bet for us has been retail media, which we've kind of seen the explosion of in the last couple of years. I mean, this feels like the Venn diagram is a big overlap, I guess, with creators and the ability to sell stuff and convert in a kind of a single click. I mean, it's a marketer's dream in a weird way. Mm-hmm. What does it need marketers to do, advertisers to do, in order to be set up for this kind of thing, Agatha? I mean, is it a process thing? They've got to have the measurement right. How are advertisers setting up to make the most of creator marketing?
I think it's to do with a lot of testing from the get-go. And what you said about there's so much pressure for creators to be the solution for branding, for driving traffic, for sales. It can't all sit with, you know, with creators. We have to find a way to support them on that journey and in that process. But I think absolutely understanding why you want to work with a specific creator, understanding their audience, understanding their language and how it works for your brand, because not all partnerships will work. There's always like, you know, it's just about trying it out and I think testing and experimenting. And I think looking beyond, I think, just the posts that are kind of one-off, I think building brand relationship, because if you think about it, if you get work with one creator on one campaign, you'll spend 2 or 3 weeks getting to know them, working, tweaking the content. The campaign is over. Okay, on to the next cohort of creators, where what we see is like with traditional media, we say that you have to see something 7 times as a consumer to start acknowledging it. And that's what the audience wants to see. If I see your brand represented on your feed across 6 months, I buy into you liking the product. So I build that trust. So I think it's thinking about like what's important to you with creators, like what can you achieve that maybe is missing from your plan at the moment, and measuring it, absolutely. So thinking with retail, so if you're working with Amazon, do you have the right pixels on the site to track the creators? Are your partners and suppliers going to share the data to give you that full cycle journey?
It comes back to your point as well, Zoe, about this sort of campaign mindset of, you know, I'm going to run it for 2 weeks and then I've got a different brand coming on. The authenticity starts to dilute a little bit, I guess, and people want to see these creators with these products as kind of part of their life, as an ongoing thing, not just I'm going to talk about it for 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about a different lip gloss, whatever it might be.
Mm. Yeah, I think, I know, and it was related to the kind of setting yourself up for success. Yeah, I mean, are creators playing a role in your kind of yearly activity, in your yearly marketing calendar?
Mm.
Or is this a campaign? And in which case, yeah, how do you speak to them differently? Is it because having a short campaign period, is that going to do a brand building job? Probably not.
Yeah, it might shift some stock, but yeah, you're not going to... Yeah,
exactly. Right, so then it's just, if you're an advertiser or a brand and you want to kind of think, how are you setting yourself up for success? You start with, what is the role of creator marketing in my full marketing mix or my full marketing calendar? And then it would be a kind of, all right, well, what do I need to set my team up? And what partners do I need?
Yeah,
because yeah, otherwise you're going to just start being very kind of reactive. And it's when you get into the situation that you're describing now where you go, we need a creator for this moment.
Right.
So it comes back to kind of strategy and objectives, doesn't it?
All of this sage advice, of course, is in the guide. And for the listeners, there'll be a link in the show notes, of course. Often in digital, we're a bit shy about talking about the brilliant work. I mean, I look at other channels like cinema and telly and print, they're brilliant at showing off the great stuff they do, but sometimes we're not. Favourite or great standout campaigns you've seen or creators that we should go and take a look at because they're doing things differently? Zoe?
Oh gosh, we've obviously got a Slack channel at work that's sharing this sort of stuff all the
time.
So I think one that I saw yesterday or the day before, I've forgotten his name, so I'm really sorry, but I'll send it when I remember it. There's a creator I follow and he's really funny and he does impressions of like inanimate objects or scenarios, and he's just done a collab with an SPF, like a kind of sun cream company, and he's pretending to be the sun. So yeah, I mean, all of my things that I follow are my personal interest, to the point that we've been making, that it's about, you know, I choose to follow you because you have a passion point that I care about. Mine are all comedians and cooks. So yeah, I think
all the C's, move on to D's next month.
Mine's that one. I think that
he sounds fascinating.
It was a funny collab.
We will find him and
I will
put him in the notes. Campaign or creator we should be thinking about?
Yeah, I have a lot of creators that I follow. It's tough. I love London Girl in NYC. She is from London. Her name's Amanda, and she has incredible style, so she posts incredible outfits. And she'll be, like, at the dry cleaner, and she'll post a photo in the mirror of the dry cleaner wearing this absolutely ridiculous outfit, and people are looking at her. But not only that, she's so knowledgeable about the fashion industry and the luxury industry, and she can pick up on a similarity from, like, this year's recent runway show men's show in 1995 of a different designer. And it's just, and her community is so engaged, and they're also in the industry, so they comment and she responds, and it's just incredible. Like, it's so niche, but it's just really incredible to see that kind of talent.
Yeah.
And brand-wise, I mean, campaign-wise, I really love ASOS's current campaign. It's Unreal Finds, and they're using creators in the perfect way because they've used different creators of all different ages and styles and everything, and showing how ASOS has Unreal Finds for everybody. For me, what an Unreal Find might be finding the perfect pair of black pants that I've been searching for forever. For Zoe, that might be, like, the coolest purple dress to wear on a night out. For Agatha, it might be, like, the perfect dress to wear to a wedding that's coming up. So it's just really, like, it means something different to everybody, and they're using creators really express that. And doing that through an advertising campaign would be tough because there's so many different routes that could go down, but using creators to speak in their voice is the best route.
Very nice. Nice example.
I love it. I'll have to go and check it out. And also, I need to see the sun interpretation.
Other things as well. I mean, I love them, cups and all sorts.
Yeah. So one of the creators I had the privilege to meet recently was Robin Jones from A Man For Himself. So he's a beauty and fragrance male blogger. And why I talk about him is from that context of thinking how creators build multi-platform presence. So he does YouTube, he does fantastic Vox Pops where he goes out and speaks to men about the fragrance they use or makeup or moisturizers. Because I find that with different audience group across male audience, that's so, like, such a tough audience to tap into and actually get them into using your products and talking about products. So he's on YouTube, he's on Instagram, he's on TikTok, he's got his own website and also a mailing list. And what he, like, spoke to us about is that, like, in terms of how men, obviously men have a different approach. They want the facts, right? You tell me my face will radiate in 5 minutes. Men want the stats behind it. Yeah. So what he said is like with how Gen Z men communicate with him, they'll find to do like Instagram comments. Then like the millennial men will probably DM him. And then like Gen X and baby boomers will send him emails.
Letters.
Yeah.
Faxes. But,
yeah. And I think what, for me as a marketeer, what's really important is that, you know, on the face of it, there are so many conversations that are open to me. But these nuggets of information he has through other means and other sources. And it's almost like for us as brands to think, you know, not to kind of really delve deep. And I think that's what happens when you speak with creators. Yeah. So don't make assumptions, just have that conversation. Yeah. And then you can tap into that male grooming market.
There you go. Thank you very much indeed, Agata. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Zoe. Give them a big hand.
Meta's Michelle Kapp, Publicis Media's Agata Narkovic and Zoe Mitchell from Buttermilk there. And there you have it. I really hope that if creator marketing isn't a part of your brand's media mix already, we've helped to put it firmly on your radar. And if it is, then I hope we've given you renewed energy to really lean in to this exciting channel. I urge you to go and check out the IAB's brand new guide, Creator Connections, Leveraging Creator Marketing to Build Your Brand. As I say, you can find a link for it in the show notes. And in other news, tickets for our flagship event, IAB Engage 2024, are selling fast. It's a joy takeover this year as we turn our attention to celebrating the joy of digital in all its forms. Join us on Tuesday, the 4th of June, for a half day of speaker slots and networking, all designed to spark your creativity and get you thinking differently about digital. Tickets are available on our website, and if you're an agency or an advertiser member, you come for free on us. We'll put a link to that in the show notes too. What? There's a packed show notes this week. Christ. That's a wrap for this week's episode. Thanks to my guests, Michelle, Agata and Zoe. And of course, thank you for listening. And please, please remember to rate, review and share the pod. I promise you, it really, really does help. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
IAB UK. Building a better future for digital advertising for the benefit of everyone.